on earth would you do, Seven, if your laptop dies? Because that's where all your information is kept. Well, this week we've found out, which is why my sermon is written on this piece of paper. That conveniently says sermon on the back. Anyway, so we'll see how we get on today. This is me unplugged. It's like, yeah. So, it should be good. It's our last of our series today. For those of you who come for the last few weeks, we've done a mini-series on James. So we've done three services looking at the book of James. If you haven't read it, I can recommend it. Of all the books in the Bible to read, it's fairly short, so it'll probably only take you about half an hour. There's only four pages in my Bible. And it's written by Jesus' brother. So if anyone's going to tell you a little bit about Jesus, I feel it's the guy who grew up with him. So I can recommend the book of James. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how James says, don't compare yourselves endlessly with everyone else. And we talked a little bit about how easy it is to put yourself in a ranking with people that you know. And you think, oh, I'm doing better than them, but I'm not doing as well as them. And that's a dangerous game to play, because you can make your worth dependent on what other people are doing. And actually, God says, you're worth it because I say you're worth it, not because you're better or worse than the people around you. And it's a dangerous game when we start judging others. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago and how James says don't judge. We also looked at last week about money. James says that how you deal with money is important in how free that you live. And the big question we ask, do you own money or does money own you? So we looked at that last week. You can catch up with those sermons online if you did miss them. And today's the last one. If you read the book of James, you will notice that he has one pet topic that he keeps on coming back to. One of them is money. And the other one is how you talk to people. Because in case you hadn't noticed, what you say has a big impact on everything, really. That for some reason, the words that we say carry an awful lot of power. Now, I know this is true, because it doesn't take, like, you're only a couple of sentences away from getting fired, aren't you, really? Like, you don't have to spend too long thinking about what those sentences might be or to who. But you are only, like, just a couple of wrong things to your boss. And, only a couple of sentences. What you say matters. You're only a couple of sentences away from ending a friendship, aren't you? And some of us have been on the receiving end of that, where something's come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, because of a couple of sentences, that friendship, that relationship is over. There's something very powerful about our words. Looking at it in a more positive light, you're only a few sentences away from making someone's day. You're only one sentence away from really turning someone. We can all remember one line that someone said to us once that made a massive impact on our life. There's a writer that I really respect and a preacher who I think is fantastic at communicating. And I was reading his book the other day, and he said so much of where he's gone, he, unlike me, went to a proper like theology school where they teach you like Bible stuff, which I haven't been to, in case you haven't noticed from my wafflings. Anyway, and he went to that, and he did a sermon class, and they taught him how to preach. And he gave this practice sermon, and he said, I took it in a different direction. I can't remember what he did. He probably had some like props or something. I don't know. Maybe he was talking on Jesus coming in on a donkey, and he like had a donkey or something. Anyway, he said, oh, I'm going to do something. And apparently, after this, the woman who was marking him came up to him and she looked at him and said, you can take it further. That one sentence changed the course of his life. Because for the rest of his life, he's become quite a famous preacher. His name's Rob Bell. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. And it all came because a woman looked at him and said, you can take it further. Some of us, when we were growing up, we had one teacher who inspired us. Because they said to us, you're actually quite good at this. You should consider doing it. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. There's something powerful about the words that we say. The very universe was spoken into existence. You read John 1 and it says, the word became flesh. That word, the sound of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It was Jesus. There's something powerful about the words that we say. And we're going to look at this morning briefly three ways that the tongue, how we speak, affects us. Because James is pretty clear that the tongue has got great potential for good. You can make someone's day. You can set the course for someone's life. You can inspire someone. You can bring about great change. Or you can lose your job and mess up that relationship and have a big argument. Those are your choices when it comes to speaking. It's got great power. And James uses this fascinating analogy. It says the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, or the thing that you put in a horse to move. Anyone been horse riding? No, terrifying, isn't it? Absolutely terrifying. I must admit, I've been horse riding twice. The first time I ever went horse riding, it was in Sri Lanka on a beach, and a man said, give me 20p and I'll let you ride this horse. And I stupidly said yes. I must admit, I had no control over what then happened. I cannot relate to what James says at all. Apparently, you can control a horse by pulling it. There was no way I was not in charge of that relationship at all for the next 10 minutes. We did it. It was a gallop. It was a trot. I don't know. It felt very fast. Anyway, it felt very fast. It felt very terrifying. You were meant to go on holiday to come back with a tan. I just came back looking white as a sheet, but that was mostly just the fear of going on a horse. James says your tongue's like that. It has the potential, unlike me, if you're a skilled horse rider, it has the potential to guide something on a good direction. It's like a rudder on a ship, this massive ship, and if you've just got a little rudder, it can take a direction of your life. So my first question to you to think about this morning is, where is that ship heading? Where is your ship heading? And how is what you're saying dictating it? If you hang out with negative people, their life, have you noticed, just gets worse and worse and worse. So the first time you meet someone who likes complaining, they're complaining about the weather. But the next time that you meet them, they're complaining about the weather and they're complaining about their family. And the next time you meet them, it's their weather and the family and the job. And before you know it, this person who started complaining about the weather is the biggest pessimist you've ever met. And quite frankly, you probably stop hanging out with them. Now, that isn't an accident. James says the tongue is like a rudder. It guides this ship somewhere. The words that you say become your actions. And your actions become your habits, and your habits become your character. So if you want to end up in a couple of years with a kind of personality that people want to hang around with, can I suggest that you look at what you're saying? Because if you speak positively, if you are encouraging, if you are kind, then you'll get there in 3 years, because your words will become your actions will become your character becomes your destiny. Look at what you're saying and see which direction you're heading. Because the first thing is that the tongue, the way you use your tongue, it determines something about your future. To put it another way, the world is full of self-fulfilling prophecies. I can't do it. I can't do it. My favourite word in teaching is the word yet. It's my favourite word. If I had a classroom, I'd be tempted to write it in big letters up on a classroom. Yet. Because so often I meet people and students who start with that sentence, I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't do it. And all I want to say to them is, yet. You can't do it yet. Because a mindset, the language that you speak over your life, I can't do it, it's impossible, I'm not good enough. If you keep saying those words over your life, then do you know what? You won't be able to. The world is full of self-fulfilling prophecies. James says the tongue is like a rudder, it guides a ship. Which direction is your ship changing? I used to always say, yes, but. I don't know why. That's how I used to start sentences. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, but. You've all seen the Catherine Tate thing. That was me. Yes, but. And I realised that I didn't want to say that anymore, because I didn't want to say yes to something with a proviso endlessly. I didn't want to be the kind of person who always put a dampener on ideas. I didn't want to be the kind of person who put the brakes on. I didn't want to be the kind of person who said yes, but. I didn't want to be the kind of person who was like, yeah, but maybe not. So I stopped saying it. I stopped saying it because I saw where that was leading my character and I didn't want to go there. So I changed the way I speak. What direction is your tongue taking you? How is your language altering your actions, and your actions altering your habits, and your habits altering your character, and your character altering your destiny? If you simply care about yourself, you need to watch how you speak. You need to change your language, because your language will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But we also know that the tongue doesn't just affect us. The tongue also affects those around us. It also affects how others see us. Do you have those groups of friends? We'll call them the flakers, We've got these flaky friends. I used to have a group of friends. And so what would happen if I was like organising an event? I used to do this thing called Get Fat Friday, which it was a wonderful event. And what the one rule was, you had to bring something that was like, if it was made by Sainsbury's, it had all reds. That's how you know it's the most delicious food, because all of the reds are on the packaging. So anyway, that was the rule. If you came on a Friday, you had to bring something that would qualify for seriously calorific. So you got these people. And I'd send the text out to my mates and be like, who wants to come? And let's say they all said yes. Now, we all know that when some people say yes, they mean yes. And when some people say yes, they mean maybe. And when so there were some groups of friends that if they said yes, they meant maybe. And if they said maybe, they meant definitely not. They were flaky people. James says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Because unfortunately, that was fine the first time when they said yes and then didn't turn up. All right, never mind. And then the next time they said maybe and they didn't turn up. And the next time, the truth is, you just don't trust them. Because it's not just whether or not you come and bring a cake, I don't really care. But suddenly, the next time you ask them to do a favour, I never believed that they'd come through for me. The next time that I asked them to do something that matters, I went to the person who, when they said yes, they were going to do it. James says, the way that you speak, it affects the people around you. It affects how they view you. Do you want to be the kind of person who has a reputation for doing what they say and then saying what they do? Because it doesn't take long to get a reputation around the language that you use. It doesn't take long to get a reputation for a moaner. It doesn't take long to get a reputation as that person is always negative. It doesn't take long to get a reputation for the person who always flakes. And similarly, it doesn't take long to get a reputation for the positive one. It doesn't take long to get a reputation for being the kind one. It doesn't take long to get the reputation for being the encouraging one. The tongue affects us. It affects the direction that we're going. It affects our destiny. It affects the people around us and how they view it. And it really does affect, others. I was 16 when I found out there was someone in the world who hated me. 16. And before that, I just assumed that everyone kind of liked me. Which is maybe an arrogant assumption, but I was like, well, I have to spend all the time in the world with me, so, and I'm all right, so I assume that everyone else is fine with it as well. But I was 16, I found out that actually there was this guy at school who fully hated me. And it was really tough. And it was because, I know it's hard to imagine, but I used to have quite a cutting sense of humour. Maybe it's not quite so hard to imagine. And one of the things, as you can tell from me, I'm not a man built to fight. If there was a fight to be had, I'm not the fella to do it. If there was ever any kind of conflict, then I just used my mouth to either get me into more conflict or to get me out of it. And so I developed quite a cutting and quick, I suppose, sense of humour is one way. I just think I was being mean, to be honest. And I was quite good at coming up with insults quickly. And I found out that actually, those words really influenced and impacted some people around me. So this guy, I'd been really mean to him. And he hated me for it. And it was a very daunting thing for me to think, the words that I say actually influence what's going on. The words that I say, people actually notice what I'm talking about. And I realised that you can't just get away with being cutting all the time, because it hurts people. Now, bearing in mind, on a Sunday, I'd sing all the right songs. I'd go to church. I'd put my hands up at the appropriate time. Hands up. Hands down for coffee. Hands back up. I'd say the prayers. I'd lead a small group. I knew a little bit about my Bible. I'd say the right words on a Sunday. But clearly, on a Monday, I was much more interested in getting a cheap laugh at the expense of the people around me. And James says, the same mouth that worships God is the same mouth that criticizes people made in his very image. Brothers, this should not be the case, what it says in James. Because the tongue does genuinely affect others. The tongue, James says, is like starting a forest fire. It has huge effect, the words that you say over people. You know that's true. You can probably remember the last time someone insulted you. You can probably remember the last time someone said something hurtful about you. And you can probably remember that from years and years and years, years ago. The tongue has enormous power to affect other people. The tongue has huge power, both good and bad. How can in one breath we worship God and in another breath put down someone made in his image? And I want to tie all of what we've seen about James together, because James is very clear. You cannot do what I did. You cannot be a Christian on a Sunday and then a pretty mean person, and I probably deserved more of an expletive at this point, on a Monday. You can't do it. You can't be the kind of person who on a Sunday is very happy to worship God and say the right things and read from the Bible and say the right prayers, but then on a Monday not treat people as though they are made in the image of God. You can't do it. James says that's a hypocrite. That's not a Jesus follower. That's just someone who's good at religion. And James says, if you want to follow Jesus, it has to affect the way that you live. If you want to follow Jesus, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, you can't judge others. You can't decide that some people are better than you and some people are worse than you by their outward appearance. You can't spend your life putting others on some ladder that you have created of where they are in terms of worthy of respect. James says we are all made in the image of God. Every single one of us is loved unconditionally. All of us have got intrinsic worth because God loves you, because God loves you, because God loves you. Not because you've done anything to earn it, not because you've said the right things. James says we are all one before God. So don't think that on a Sunday you can say he's worthy and then on a Monday say to someone you're not, because that person is made in the image of Father God. James says there has to be a link between how we love God and how we love others. So of course it will affect our mindset, like we looked at 2 weeks ago. We looked at how easy it is to have a mindset of judging others. Of course it will affect our speech. Of course it will affect how we speak about other people. And of course it will affect our wallets, like we looked at last week. Of course it will affect how we spend our money, because you can't say on a Sunday I worship God and then on a Monday not act like it. James says there are far too many hypocrites in the world. Don't be one of them. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Act the same on a Sunday and a Monday and a Thursday afternoon, even if you're caught in traffic, which I feel is the most difficult place to be a Christian. We're called to live whole lives. I entitled this series Christianity That Walks. We all get it wrong. None of us are perfect. None of us make the grade completely. Paul's pretty clear about that in Romans. He says, I try, but I fail. None of us get it all right. We all say stupid things. Well, I know I certainly do. We all say things that we regret. We all judge people too quickly. We all make mistakes. But I hope that from this look at James, we're seeing there is an aim. There is somewhere that we together are going towards. There is a direction to this ship. And I would encourage you to think, how are you guiding it there? My challenge to us is, how do we become the people we want to be? Think about what kind of person you want to be next year. If you want to be kinder, if you want to be known as more generous, if you want to be slower to speak, that's probably something I should take into consideration. If you want to be someone who is known as the positive encourager rather than the critical moaner, if you want to be the person who's known as the one who does what they say they're going to do, that their yes is yes and their no is no, if that's the kind of person you want to be, then think about how you're altering your rudder now. What kind of person do you want to be in a year? James says you genuinely can control the destiny. You can control the direction of the ship. You can control what kind of forest fire you start. It is in your power. It's not just a case of praying and hoping that in 1 year God will suddenly make you kinder. God says a lot of that's down to you. It's how you choose to speak. It's how you choose to love. It's how you choose to forgive. And so I hope this book of James has challenged us and encouraged us to know that we can make a difference to where we're heading. And we start with the way that we speak to one another. The way that you speak about yourself. The way that you speak about your friends. The way that you speak about people who aren't in the room. And if you're kinder to yourself, kinder to the people around you, then you'll be that kind of person in a year's time.
Let's pray. And then we're going to finish by singing together.
God, we thank you that we are made in your image. We thank you that we have worth because you created us, because you are our Father. We thank you that we don't have to prove anything to you. God, I pray that the words that we say about ourselves would reflect how loved that we are. That we wouldn't do ourselves down. We wouldn't say that we can't do things. We wouldn't think that we're not good enough. I pray that we would only speak positive words over ourselves. That we would have good self-fulfilling prophecies. And God, I pray that wouldn't stop with us, that we would also speak kind and good words about each other. We are sorry for the times. I'm sorry for the times that I've been too quick to put others down. I'm sorry for the times I've been too quick to criticise. I'm sorry for the times that I've spoken about people as though they were anything less than your loved children. And I pray that you would give us grace as we seek to speak more kindly to each other and about each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.